Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Thursday morning MV Pro Call. Today is September 29th, and I'd like to welcome those of you that are here live, as well as those of you listening to this via recording, which, of course, you can do by subscribing to MotorVitality on whatever podcast application you happen to use, or by going to MotorVitality.com, where you can listen to years and years and years worth of archives. So wanted to start the call off the way I do pretty much every week, which is by asking, is there anything anybody learned this last week that you wish you had known before? Anything that happened that is worthy of sharing with other professionals across the country, or anything we can help you with? Any questions you might have, or anything we can help you with? So I actually learned something. So I'm teaching these WQA classes. WQA has started their new style of classes, right? With the mentoring, and now they have these instructor-led classes, similar to what I was doing, what Jen was doing before when we were mentoring. But it's a lot more organized. They have 1 hour a week. It's a lot more accountability. It takes a lot longer to get through it, but they seem to be having a lot more success on getting people through it. So, and I'm helping with the instructors, and I'm working with, Peter Cartwright, who I've known for years and years and years in the industry. He's a brilliant guy. And another guy that had a dealership for a long time in Massachusetts, Paul Friot, who I only met about 6 months ago, but also, I'm learning, just has a ton of experience and just really, really smart, really good stuff. So the three of us are kind of teaching these classes and kind of helping each other out. And when we're kind of prepping the curriculums, we have these conversations, and it's been amazing because we are, as we're going through and kind of determining how we're going to teach the material and what we're going to say so that we have a consistent message and that type of thing, it's really fun having the conversations with people that have been doing it, as long out there. And there's two parts that I want to say here. You guys have heard me say this before, but it's so important that you find ways to have conversations with people outside of your bubble, and to learn things that from people that have been out there doing it a long time. And what I mean by outside of your bubble, I'm talking not just the people right in your, in your area, or within your company. Maria, you're on the call. I know this have thought about you a lot as I go through this class, because there's so many times that you and I had conversations where I learned something maybe 20 years ago, and somewhere along the line, I either in my mind convinced myself there was something different, or the technology changed, or what I thought was correct and what I was out there saying was slightly different for whatever reason. And, I remember when you first came in new, you were so, you researched and you studied, and you came back and you said, you told me this, but this is what this article says, and this is what this says. And that's been the way it has been for me going through these classes and looking at the curriculum and just making sure that I'm learning things accurately, and having discussions. It's also been kind of fun to be able to teach these guys stuff, to have these conversations. And, a lot of times they've never had experience with tannins, for example, or some of the things that I've had a lot of experience with, they haven't necessarily had experience with. So I just cannot encourage you enough to get outside of your bubble, number one, and really talk to people with a lot of, with other experience. Number two, to trust but verify, right? To go back to Reagan, that was his big thing, right? Trust but verify, and that goes with the learning too. So just because you're learning it from an expert, somebody that's been out there a long time, I encourage you to, take the time to, with Google nowadays, or with the resources that are out there nowadays, you can verify that. You can find the documentation. You can expand on it. You can run with it, and don't lose the enthusiasm for learning about this industry that you have when you first come into the industry. You know, a lot of people, when they first get started, they're studying and reading and you know, really grabbing all the information they can have. I remember Tom Hopkins at one time was listening to sales training by him, and he said, you know, it's too bad most companies can't take the enthusiasm and excitement that you have when you first start a new job and combine that with the experience you have after being on the job for 5 years. You know, so the best, most effective salesperson or professional period would be the one that, you know, 5 years after they worked there, still had the same enthusiasm as the first 5 months they worked there, you know, and that would be pretty effective. So I would encourage you to get that enthusiasm back if you have lost it at all, and to, you know, to study and learn and to continue to, I feel a little guilty sometimes. That's what I think I've done sometimes. You know, I've learned so much, I've been doing it so long, you get a little complacent and you don't study and learn. So force yourself to be put in those situations where you have an opportunity to relearn or learn something new, which this industry amazes me how often I learn something new that I did not ever know before. Anyway, that's what I learned this week. So anybody want to add anything to that? Yeah, go ahead.
I do. You know, I went over to the Eastern Water Quality Association conference, and then we also had mid-year that unfortunately was canceled, but we still got to meet with people within the industry. And I'm going to second you on saying, get involved with people outside of your bubble, because you do start to get a little stagnant. You get to be a little bit like, same old every day, pretty much, you know. But when you get around other people, I mean, I was just so fired up coming off of Eastern Water Quality Association. And, you know, even if it's a matter of, you know, hey, let's get together and talk water more than just on the MV Pro call or whatever, we can get together a little support group or something. But definitely get outside your bubble.
Yeah.
You know, another part definitely of that is educating people. I'm sorry, I just, you know, one of those light bulb things just popped up. Yeah. But educating people, you know, I think maybe that's what excited me so much was I was there and, you know, we spoke on creating business as one of the presentations that, or panels that I was on. And it was exciting to share those things. And then people come to me and ask me questions. And it's like, you know, I guess I realized that there were a couple of things I knew that they didn't know, and it made me excited again. And, you know, same thing when I went and sat in on other classes, it was really interesting to learn new things there. So just teaching other people gets you excited too.
So anybody else have anything? Amount? Want to add anything? Definitely don't want to feel like I'm like lecturing, like, go learn stuff. You guys are on this call, which is amazing. I love that you take the time to, you know, to come on the call and to learn. And this is an opportunity to kind of, you know, to kind of get involved in some of those discussions and get outside of your bubble a little bit. So I love that you're doing this, but believe it or not, this may come as a surprise, and it's difficult to say, but I actually don't know everything. And I know. No, seriously, please hold your your dissent to that. It's true. It's true. Anyway, so just, you know, beyond this call, so this call, though, I do think seriously is a good start, because we do get some different perspectives and ideas here, and maybe it allows you to think about things a little bit differently. So I have a topic this morning, and we've talked about this topic before. Usually, you know, once a year or so, we have some variation of it. I want to talk about price increases and kind of price versus value a little bit. And it does seem like for the last, you know, MotoVitality, the MV marketplace, we've really ramped up our distribution. We've talked about that in the past, and that's, yes, I snuck a little promotion in there, a little little advertisement for the MV marketplace there. But you know, we've been getting from all of our vendors all these new price lists, which it seems like we just got a new price list 6 months ago from many of them. We have had to having price increases. And this has been, as we've been around talking to different dealers and we've talked to different companies, we're seeing that this is pretty much across the board. There have been price increases all over the place. And there's this little thing out there that you may have heard of called inflation, you know, and that is certainly having an impact on it, you know, on what we're selling. And I think most companies try and avoid raising the prices as for as long as they can. But the reality is things are more expensive. And we, you know, that's, you can't afford to have a significant price increase from a vendor or a supplier and keep the prices the same. And I remember when I was in sales, this had an impact on me. And then when I became regional manager at Clearwater Systems, it kind of had a different impact because I was responsible for, you know, for sort of managing those price increases and letting everybody know what the price increases were. And I always, you know, so we had a team, Jen, you'll remember this, you were part of this team. You know, we had a team at its peak of 14 sales professionals that I served. And I remember pretty much universally when we had a price increase, people were, they were very disgruntled. Oh, you know, you're raising the price $200. We're already the most expensive system out there. We're already really high, you know. And it was always interesting to me because if you brought I remember one time in particular that I was getting ready to bring on two new sales professionals, and I made the decision to raise the price prior to them starting, just because I knew that would be two less people that would be complaining about the price increase. It's always interesting, new people, you hand them, hey, here's our price list, this is what we sell it for. And they go, oh, yeah, okay, this is the price list. And you go out there. People that have been there and they've been used to knowing the prices and selling the stuff, they complain, this is really going to have an impact on our sales. This is going to hurt our sales. And I really think, and maybe this is somebody that hasn't actually been out there in sales for a long time saying this, so I kind of wanted to have a discussion about this a little bit and have some input from you guys. But I feel like, number one, yeah, nobody likes a price increase, but everybody sort of understands that the prices are going up and you are going to lose some of those sales, but people are still buying things. You know, they're still going out there. They still have things. And we have to understand that we are not the only ones that are having to raise our prices. Everybody is, you know, we have a couple vendors that are giving us, you know, they're new vendors, they're brand new, and the most recent price list we have is from 2018 from them. And they've said, you know, we have this price list, but we're redoing our price list now. It's going to go up. Yeah, things definitely have increased in price since 2018. 2018, we were in the middle of a zombie apocalypse in 2018. That was before we had supply issues. We had, it was before the inflationary problems that we're having now and the gas prices and all of that stuff. So anyway, I just wanted to kind of have a discussion with you guys and say, number one, how do you feel about price increases? How do you address them, you know, with your customers? Do they have an impact on you? And then, you know, if we have time, I'm going to give a couple suggestions, just a couple thoughts on my opinion on how we should approach them. But have you guys been experiencing price increases within your own organizations? How have they been, kind of presented to you? Would you suggest that they be presented in a different way? And how are you presenting them to your customers? Is it having an impact on your sales? Your turn.
Stacy here.
Hey, Stacy.
Stacy here. We are actually 20 to 30% more than this time last year right now.
Yeah.
We've had two price increases, both in line with coming from the manufacturer. And I don't think it's really affected me that much. Now, we've got one guy in the office every time, and I mean, he's been there 5 years longer than I have been. Every time we've just priced ourselves out of the market, can't sell a thing, on and on and on and on and on.
Yeah.
And he looked at me one day, and we have a large population of immigrants that like to have discounts, okay?
Yeah.
They like to negotiate. But he's like, oh, we've just priced ourselves out of the market for them. Bet you haven't sold one since. And I said, well, I've got three houses in a row all in the same neighborhood that on the same street that referred each other since the price increase. No. Yes.
I think what you're saying there, Stacey, is – go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I said if you present it right and they don't know what the people on the other side of the neighborhood paid last year before they built when they built, we're good. But when they compare numbers, yes, they get upset and they negotiate. And a lot of them are truckers. So I'm like, so how much of your gas price has gone up?
Yeah, exactly.
So
when they want to compare prices to what their neighbor paid 2 years ago, that's where and I think the empathy thing, when somebody says, well, that's $200 more than what my neighbor paid 2 years ago. I mean, I think this is one of the things Tom Hopkins says, is you look at them with empathy and you say, yeah, I know. Everything's gone up, hasn't it? You know, and you show them, because you're not dropping a price. Well, you should give me the price. But I love what you're saying. Well, how much was gas, 2 years ago? How much was, how much were interest rates 2 years ago? It was like, I think you have to point that out with them because everything has gone up. You're exactly right. You know, it's in presentation.
And then the other thing I run into is my territory backs up to another franchisee who's ours. And I can literally be on one side of County Line Road, be on my side of County Line Road. Their buddy could be on the other side of County Line Road. And they're like, but they bought from Kim and Kim sold them to this.
Yeah.
I said, yes, I understand that. They're a different dealership. They have different rates. But Kim can't sell you yours because she can't come into my territory and I can't go into her territory.
Mm.
And they don't always like that answer. But it's also one of those things that eventually, if they argue enough, I just say, I'm sorry, this is the price, and I start packing up.
Yeah.
You'd be amazed at how many of them will call you the next day.
Yeah, you're exactly right. You have to understand. I mean, it is what it is. You're not making the rules. Jen, when you were in sales, your territory bordered on another dealer that sold the same product. And I remember having those discussions with you as well. Because they were like $400 less than us, I think, at the time. Do you remember that?
They were quite a bit. And kind of the tough part was we were awarded, it was an open territory. We were awarded the territory.
Theirs. Yeah.
Yeah, it used to be theirs. So it was tough because they were well known in that territory. So it was tough, but, we just had to.
And they were closer. That was the hard part, too, is their office was within a half hour, whereas ours was like almost 2 hours away. So at the time. So,
right.
Yeah, that was, I remember having those conversations, too. And that's one, from a salesperson, Stacey, I love what you're saying, that you just have to be firm. You have to understand that that's the way it is. And sometimes you're not going to make those sales, So you're right. You pack up and people feel, I hate having to start the relationship off like they felt strong-armed to have to buy from you. But the reality is they didn't have to buy from you. There are other companies out there. That means that you have a product and, they felt strong-armed because you were the only company that offered the product and the service that you offer. They got you from it. And that is, what comes to mind is, and it's not quite the same, but I think, Jen, when we signed up for internet at the office, you know, it was the only place that offered it, and they were just, and I hated what they were offering on the price. I hated the way they had this cocky, you know, this cocky opinion. Well, if you don't want it, then you don't have to have internet. Now I have right. to have internet, which means that I have to go with you. And I don't like starting a relationship off that way, but sometimes it is what it is. And they got the sale because they're the only ones that had the product that and the service that we needed, you know? So,
right.
You know, it's a similar thing.
We also get the people that will not buy and then call back in to try to get a different.
Yeah. Yeah, you have that as well. Yep.
It's like they think the other sales rep's going to give them a better deal. It's like, no, we all have the same price.
Yeah. So who else? What else? Anybody else running into this issue?
Yeah, Kelly, real quick, going back to the ordering, you know, other dealerships, is I was able to explain, you know, and I would say, oh, yeah, I know that dealership, and, you know, he's a great guy. It's a, you know, wonderful small company, family-type company. So, but fortunately, we are a larger company, which means we do have a little bit more overhead. And, you know, what that means, though, is that we're able to respond to those service calls quicker if
yeah.
we have them, or we're able to get quicker installation in, and, you know, just yeah. kind of the benefits of having a larger company is where I
right.
was able to kind of throw that in there.
Right. And explain that the manufacturer assigned us that territory for a reason. Because they knew that we were, you know, they knew that we had the resources to better serve them, you know, and you know, in that case, while I, you know, that gentleman was awesome, he was a great guy, and actually ended up being a client of MotoVitality's after we left, you know, and we ended up hiring a couple salespeople for him, but it was a fact that he was kind of a part-time guy. He had an office and didn't, you know, he didn't have the resources. There were times when he couldn't get out to people, you know, in a timely manner and things like that. So it was, you know, there were some real advantages to paying the higher premium. And that's the biggest thing that I, you know, I want to talk about on this is, number one, look, we do know, Stacey, exactly what you're saying. Prices are going up. And while people may not like it, and they are going to complain, and they're going to argue, and they're going to demand more sometimes, you have to go into that knowing that you're being fair, you're giving them the best product, the best service, and you know, your prices are justified. You're not just willy-nilly raising prices. You know, we have to, there are costs associated with what we do, and we can't not reflect that, you know, it rolls downhill. But the other thing is, you know, recognizing that they are struggling, that they are having a hard time. And so being empathetic, but not necessarily apologetic. And that's the thing that I want to encourage you guys to look at here is empathy, not apology. Okay. You are not doing anything wrong. You know, you're not being dishonest. You have to take pride in what you get, you know, what you do out there. And honestly, if you feel like your prices are a little too high, there's not much you can do to convince the company to lower the prices. That's a decision that in many cases is going to be on somebody else's shoulders. So your decision is either to go sell something else that is less expensive or to find ways to increase the value. And you, if you're a sales professional, have the ability to do that. You know, tremendous ability to do that. Just in your follow-up, Lily and Maria, I know the two of you, and just, you know, having recently kind of seen your work, you answer phone calls and you respond and you do the research and you go way over and above what your competitors are doing in terms of, you know, just making sure you're wowing those customers and with communication. And, you know, you guys take it on your shoulders to make sure that you're providing enough value to that customer to justify the increased price, you know, and that's what it takes. You got to be out there really, you know, increase the service, the value, make them, and Stacey, I know that you do the same thing, you know, with your customers, you are making them, I mean, there's only so much you can do. You know, you can't
yeah.
give them more product away. You know, there's what you can do is give them the service, answer the calls in the evenings. You know, and Maria, in your case, I know you return phone calls or emails sometimes at 2 o'clock in the morning. You've CC'd me on some of them where you seem like 2:30 a.m. and you're doing a research and sending a call. You know, that's the kind of stuff that people notice and they go, oh yeah, that's why. It's a premium, not only a premium product, but there's premium service that comes along with it as well. Right?
Exactly.
So, anybody else have any thoughts on this? We got the 3 minutes left here to kind of talk it over. I think the biggest thing that I want to leave you with on this topic is like I said, be empathetic, but not apologetic. Okay. Be proud of what you offer, both in service and quality. It sucks. Prices are going up out there for everybody. I know the dealerships don't like having to increase their prices, but all the stuff that they're buying is costing more too. So, you know, that if you are doing that honestly and the prices are being increased within those normal reasons. Remember, everybody, all of your competitors are also increasing prices. And if they're not, then they're not going to be in business. Okay. If they're not increasing their prices, they're not going to be in business. The other thing to keep in mind here is that people do not buy on price alone. They buy, in fact, if people only bought on price, you would never, you know, everything would be Walmart or Big Lots or discount stores. Nobody would drive Mercedes or Lexus or Teslas or any of that stuff. If people only bought on price, then you would only have the cheapest stuff out there. But look around in the roads. People aren't only buying the cheapest cars. They're not, you know, there are plenty of high-end furniture stores and all that stuff that are out there. The people are not only buying on price. You have to determine. If they're buying on price, they probably weren't going to, $200 isn't going to make that much difference, okay? If a $200 price increase is what keeps them from buying from you, then they weren't really looking at quality and service anyway, which means that you probably weren't going to get that sale even if it was $200 less, okay? You got to determine whether if price is what they're buying on, let them go buy from somebody who's selling it cheaper. If they're interested in quality and service, I mean, that's another thing. I'm kind of quoting Tom Hopkins a lot today. But it's really rare to find a situation where you have all three, price, quality, and service. Usually you have to give up one or the other. It's impossible to have the lowest price and still give the best service and quality. But it's also, you can't have the best service and quality and have the lowest price. I mean, there are costs associated with providing the best quality and service, you know. So, all right, somebody else with final word. Any final comments? All right, you guys, thanks so much. I really appreciate it. We will talk to you next week, if not before. So everybody be safe. All right. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks. Bye-bye.